Why don't we proceed now to call to order the MTC's Programming and Allocations Committee. My name is David Campos. I am the vice chair of the committee. I'm from the city and county of San Francisco. Our chair, Fettel Glover, could not be here today. So we will be calling the meeting to order. And Madam Clerk, if you can please confirm that we have a quorum.
Good morning. Yes, we have a quorum.
Great. Thank you very much. First of all, Happy New Year, everyone. Best wishes for 2013. When we now go to item two, the consent calendar, we have a number of items. I haven't seen any requests to pull any item from the consent calendar. If we can have a motion to approve the consent calendar.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Cortese. Second. Is there a second? Second by Commissioner Bates. So without objection, the consent calendar passes. If we can now go to item number three. And that's item number three is the regional program and allocation requests, items A, B. So with that, I'll turn it over to staff.
Good morning, Commissioners. Shruti Hari from the Programming and Allocation section. And I'll be presenting for your consideration today allocations totaling approximately $47.8 million in RM1 capital funds, $13.8 million in AB 1171 capital funds, $7.3 million in 2% capital funds, and $500,000 in RM2 capital funds. And these are towards the Transbay Terminal, eBART, BART Extension to Livermore, and the SMART projects. Now, there's a table on the first page of your handout on item 3A, which shows the various allocations being requested this month by fund source and by project. Now, I'd like to walk you through the various allocations being requested. Starting with the Transbay Transit Center project, the TJPA is requesting an allocation of $47.8 million in RM1 capital funds in order to certify their upcoming structural steel superstructure contract as well as other ancillary contracts. Now, the structural steel superstructure contract includes the manufacturing and procurement of steel elements of the building as well as construction of the steel frame of the Transit Center building. I would like to note here that the above allocation is being specifically requested only to certify the contract and issue the first notice to proceed. TJPA anticipates that the land sales revenues from Parcel T will be available in spring 2013, at which point they'll switch the funding source from the bridge tolls to the land sales revenues, and MTC at that point will rescind the remaining RM1 funds from this allocation so that they can be used for future elements of this project. Now, the risk of the land sales revenue not being available is minimal, so staff recommends allocating the RM1 funds towards the certification of the structural steel superstructure contract with a condition that the funds be rescinded when the land sales revenues become available for the contract, the structural steel superstructure contract. Moving on to the eBART project, BART is requesting an allocation of $500,000 in RM2 funds towards the design of the Railroad Avenue station, which was planned to be an intermediate station between the Pittsburgh Bay Point Transfer Station and the end of the line at Antioch. Now, because funding from the City of Pittsburgh did not materialize, the station was removed from the scope of the eBART project. However, BART and the City of Pittsburgh would like to preserve the option to construct the station at a later time by completing the station design. Both CCTA and the City of Pittsburgh will be pitching in $500,000 each to bring the total to $1.5 million in order to complete the design for the Railroad Avenue station. Also, all three agencies will be working together to seek funding for station construction in the future. The next allocation is for BART again towards the BART to Livermore extension project. BART is requesting an allocation of $8.6 million towards the completion of environmental documentation for transit improvements in the I-580 corridor and related modifications to the I-580 and SR-84, State Route 84 corridors. The proposed project is a 4.8-mile extension of the BART line from the Dublin Pleasanton BART station to a station in the vicinity of the I-580 Isabel Avenue interchange. BART has already certified a final project program EIR for this project. The current effort is a second-tier project-level EIR. This allocation also includes up to $500,000 for ridership development plan work to be completed by the City of Livermore in accordance with the MOU that's being developed between the city and BART. Now, the current allocation is only to conduct a CEQA review. If NEPA is required, staff could return with the proposed allocation to support NEPA analysis. And therefore, as a condition of this allocation, BART staff will need to report on a decision, report a decision on whether to pursue a joint NEPA or CEQA document or a CEQA-only document, including identifying a lead federal agency to MTC by 1st of June of this year, 2013. Moving on to the SMART project, we have two allocations proposed for the SMART extension project today, two actions actually. But to start with a little background, in late November, MTC received a letter from State Senator Noreen Evans asking that MTC consider making a near-term investment to expand SMART's initial operating segment to the Sonoma County Airport Employment Center. Now, this request notes that this investment could be timed with the current construction activities into increase the cost effectiveness of the system enhancement. And further, the SCTA, or the Sonoma County Transportation Authority, recently approved in December of last year a $6.6 million investment for an additional train set to achieve full service frequency to the North Santa Rosa station and, if constructed, the Sonoma County Airport Area Station. Also, SMART staff has provided to us an analysis that demonstrates that the project would continue to meet MTC's TOD, or transit-oriented development requirements, with this extension to the airport area. Therefore, staff has developed the following proposal for funding the extension to the Sonoma County Airport. The cost of extending the initial operating segment to the Sonoma County Airport area is roughly $16 million. And there's a table in your packet on page 4 of item 3A, which provides a breakdown of this cost by project element. So the total cost of extending this IOS is roughly $16 million, and we are recommending programming today $12.5 million, consisting of $7.3 million in 2% toll revenues, $5.2 million in AB 1171 toll revenues, so totaling $12.5 million. Of this programming commitment, we are recommending allocating $750,000 at this time for the design work, which is what it costs, and there is an immediate match contribution from SMART of $700,000. So this commitment overall totals $13.2 million, and this should ensure that the design track and platform work is able to move forward in tandem with the 2013 construction packages. There is another table in your packet on page 5 of item 3A, which summarizes this funding approach. Now, with the completion of design, for which we are requesting an allocation of $500,000 today, a more accurate cost estimate should be available along with the potentially higher SMART funding contribution in the near future. And because of the remaining $2.5 million in funding needed for the systems element of the airport segment, staff recommends a condition on this program commitment that the SMART board prioritize potential award savings realized through the early 2013 contracts or additional sales tax revenues in order to fully fund the systems contract. Finally, I would like to reinforce that the proposed new commitment of bridge tolls today for the SMART project is recommended to enhance the productivity and efficiency of the initial operating segment by making a link to a growing regional airport and a major employment center, as well as leverage the recent investment made by SCTA to buy additional vehicles. This commitment is not intended to permit SMART to substitute these additional bridge tolls into the initial operating segment. And with that, staff recommends that the committee refer resolution numbers 3684 revised, 3914 revised, 3915 revised, and 4022 revised, along with their various allocation conditions, to the commission for approval. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And so just to make sure, your presentation covers item 3A and the different items under that, but it doesn't go to item B.
No. Right. Okay. That's correct.
Great. Colleagues, any comments or questions? Commissioner Bates.
Yeah. Maybe staff can refresh my memory, but what is AB 1171? Was that bridge toll funds?
Commissioner, it's a category of bridge toll funds that is called by its bill number. It was created several bridge toll deals ago, and this is sort of the last increment of it that we haven't spent yet.
Uh-huh. Okay, the other question I have is, around the BART to Livermore issue, what exactly is the National Environmental Policy Review? What does that entail? In other words, you're requested to have either that that review, or they're also they can go it alone with a CEQA?
The NEPA is the Federal Environmental Review Act. So whenever you do your environmental clearance under federal law, you're falling under NEPA.
And they fall in that because they get federal funds, or how does that?
If you expect to get federal funds or you need some sort of federal action, then you typically have to pursue a NEPA document. And BART is still evaluating whether they need to do NEPA or they could do CEQA only.
So is it pretty cut and dry? I mean, they either have to do it or they don't have to do it, or is it a question of whether?
There's some ambiguity because of the relationship to Interstate 580 and which project alternative will eventually be selected. So they are still evaluating it at this point.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, I'll be happy to move the item.
Before we take action on that, we do actually have a request to speak. So we'll call on Jerry Grace.
Are we on a number two on BART, about BART?
No.
Well, we have item 3A.
I knew all that, but I mean...
So it includes items 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear. You never say the number.
Okay.
But I didn't know where.
Sure.
Okay. Hold on. I didn't know at that point. Oh, no, I looked at the wrong page. Darn it. I'm so sorry for that. The Board of $500, the RM2 fund, that means that is the going toward the eBART project, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
And what they trying to do at that point right there? They say make it for the mayoral or
sure. The $500,000 that we're proposing is meant to fund design for the eBART for a potential Railroad Avenue station. It's being combined with some other contribution from the city and Contra Costa Transportation Authority.
Oh, I see. Okay. The extension, that means they're trying to get more money for going to the Livermore, correct?
No.
No, the item includes requests for money for the city of Livermore, for the Livermore, BART to Livermore EIR, but that's separate than the funding requested for the eBART infill station at Railroad Avenue.
Oh.
We can talk about it more offline if you would like
okay.
us to walk through it with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Seeing no more public comment. Public comment is closed on item 3A. So we have a motion by Commissioner Bates. Can we have a second?
Sorry.
Second by Commissioner Cortese. Commissioner Haggerty. Oh, no? Okay. If we can take that without objection. Without objection, items 3A, 1 through 4 pass. Forward with a recommendation. Yes, Commissioner Haggerty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to acknowledge that our BART director, John McPartland, who represents the Livermore area, and also Mayor Marchand are both here, but wanted to not use a lot of the commission's time. And they're also with Sherry Sheets, who does a great job for the city of Livermore, and also Aline DeMarcus, who's a past BART director for that area, are all here but chose not to speak because they want to see us get home early.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Very much, Commissioner. My apologies for not recognizing the director and the mayor. Pleasure to have you here, and look forward to continuing to work with you. If we can now go on to item 3B.
Good morning. I'm Cheryl Chi with the Programming and Allocation section, and we'll be presenting item 3B. This item allocates $22.5 million to Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District for transit operations and $4.4 million to Fairfield and Sassoon Transit to support transit operations and capital projects. This item also rescinds funds from AC Transit. I'd be happy to take any questions, and if not, I ask that you refer resolutions number 4059 revised, 4061 revised, and 4062 revised to the commission.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Bates, do you have a...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll move the item.
We have a motion by Commissioner Bates. Can we have a second? Second by Commissioner Cortese. Can we take that without objection? Without objection, item will move forward with a recommendation. If we can now call item number four, Fettel. So if we can take it over to Ms. Bachman.
Glenn Tepp, you will be presenting this item.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. Glenn Tepke with the Program and Allocations Section. This item programs approximately $828 million in federal funds for the Transit Capital Priorities Program and the Transit Performance Initiative Program. That includes about $783 million from a variety of FTA formula funding programs, as well as $31 million of the Cycle 2 STP funds that the Commission has previously set aside for transit capital rehabilitation projects, for a total of $814 million for the TCP program. That's over 2 years, fiscal 2013 and 14. And then there's another $13 million from that same transit capital rehab pot for the TPI program for 1 year for fiscal 2013. I will kind of give you a quick overview of the TCP program, and then I'll turn it over to my colleague Kenneth Folan to talk about the Transit Performance Initiative. The Transit Capital Priorities Program is the Commission's primary program for funding transit capital replacement and rehabilitation projects. It also provides some funding for operating and maintenance costs. After the Commission updated the programming policy for TCP back in October, we issued a call for projects. We received requests for funding totaling about $969 million from the transit operators. That's compared to about $836 million in projected revenues over the 2 years. We're recommending a program that's about $814 million, which would leave a balance of about $21 million, which will carry forward and be available for programming in the future. The $814 million is sufficient to cover all of the highest priority projects, the projects we call Score 16 in the programming policy. That includes vehicle replacements and also fixed guideway infrastructure projects. After we've applied the caps that limit the amount of funding we provide to certain types of projects as specified in the policy. This chart kind of provides a breakdown of the types of projects that are in the proposed program. There's about $314 million for bus, trolley, and van replacements for just about every transit operator in the region. That includes $102 million for San Francisco MTA and another $79 million for VTA. Another major piece is the for rail car and ferry replacement projects, $190 million. That includes $150 million for the BART car replacement project. That is part of our regional commitment of $871 million towards phase one of that project. It also includes $24 million for the Caltrain rail car replacement project. That is also part of a regional funding agreement of $440 million in future federal funding towards the Caltrain electrification project. And lastly, there's also $17 million towards replacement of two of Weta's ferry vessels. Another major category is the fixed guideway infrastructure. That includes things like track, bridges, tunnels, train control and power systems, ferry equipment and facilities. And that accounts for about $210 million of the program. That includes $25 million for Caltrain. That is also part of that $440 million commitment. I'll come back to that in a moment. And while the first priority for the TCP program is transit capital replacement, there are elements of the policy that allow for programming for preventive maintenance and operating costs, and there's about $65 million for those costs in this program as well. A few issues that I'll highlight in the program. One concerns small urbanized areas. All of the FTA formula funds are assigned to urbanized areas. We have 12 of those in the region. Seven of them are considered small urbanized areas, which means they have a population of less than 200,000. Under the statute, the governor of each state is the designated recipient for all the small urbanized areas in the state, and the designated recipient is the agency that is responsible for programming the funds. In California, the governor designated the or delegated the designated recipient status to MPOs back in 2004. So MTC has been functioning as the designated recipient for our seven small urbanized areas, which worked well until recently. FTA came out with a new interpretation of the statute that says that the governor cannot delegate that that status to local or regional agencies. However, the governor can delegate the responsibility for selecting projects and allocating the funds, as long as the governor or his designee, Caltrans in this case, approves the final allocations. So staff has been working with FTA and Caltrans to try and resolve this issue. Caltrans staff has indicated that they want MTC to continue to be responsible for programming in the small urbanized areas, but the mechanics of that process have not been fully worked out yet. We're pretty confident it will be resolved. So the proposed program does include roughly $30 million from the small urbanized areas. Second issue concerns Caltrain electrification. The funding for this is subject to the memorandum of understanding concerning the high-speed rail and electrification. That MOU directs that Caltrain's fixed guideway funds will go towards electrification projects, including the positive train control project. However, Caltrain requested that their fixed guideway funds in this program go to other rehabilitation projects. Our recommendation here is that the funds, which total about $25 million, be programmed to positive train control as consistent with the MOU. However, we would recommend to hold the funds out of the TIP amendment, which will add all of these projects in the program to the TIP, while Caltrain works with MTC and the other partner agencies in the MOU to resolve that question. Another issue concerns...
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Commissioner Weiner.
Thank you. And this is specifically about, in terms of our funding of Caltrain electrification, and I assume probably everyone in the room is extraordinarily supportive of electrifying Caltrain in connection with our high-speed rail program. I know we have an ongoing discussion between San Francisco and Caltrain and others about the 4th and King rail yards and scope of the EIR and the possible future uses. That rail yard, and I just want to make sure that as we're having these discussions at a regional level and with the MTC, that that issue is kept front and center. And I know these funds probably are not directly related to that, but I just wanted to flag that issue. I think it's a very, very important one for us to keep front and center.
Commissioner, in fact, we had a lengthy meeting about that yesterday here with quite a lengthy cast of characters from the various agencies, and we talked about the issue you're raising as well as the issue that Glenn is raising. And I think it's fair to say we really didn't reach resolution on either one, but we'll continue to work on it. I think there is clearly an interest in terms of the issue you're raising among all the parties who operate Caltrain of trying to get the 4th and King station use question moving. I think the real issue has to do with whether it moves in the context of the electrification EIR or separate from it. And I think there are some decent arguments on either side of that question. And so the upshot at the meeting was that San Francisco officials and Caltrain officials would be meeting further to try to work out an arrangement so that the projects can move forward, so that we don't get into the situation of having a scoping meeting for the electrification project where one of the agencies that's operating the train comes in and says, you ought to study this, and you're not.
I appreciate that, and I want to thank you for MDCSF for being involved, because I think this needs to be resolved. It's an extremely important issue.
Agree.
Great to see that. I know that Commissioner Cortese had a question.
Yeah, since we stopped on this item, it's on the item and on the other piece of the concern here that's up on the screen regarding the $25 million. You know, when we did the MOU, I think there was a lot of almost universal concern expressed about not modifying it or not getting in a situation where people don't perform on aspects of the MOU, because it was really vetted and negotiated. God only knows how many hours were put into it overall. So it jumps out at me that all of a sudden somebody's coming forward saying we don't want to do what's in the MOU. What's behind that? Was it not thought through? Is this going to impact Caltrain's operating dollars? I'm not the Santa Clara County rep that serves on the JPA, so I'm really asking fairly blindly about this. But again, what just jumps out at me is the request for a change on something that had been so thoroughly vetted in the first place.
Steve, before you respond, just wanted to ask our chair of the commission, did you want to add anything?
Well, I do. I think, and this is part of, I think, what Steve's talking about, there still needs to be some resolutions. There were some commitments made, I believe, with the MOU that are not exactly being responded to in the way there were some Band-Aids put on to be able to get this through that still needed to be resolved. But we want to keep the MOU moving forward. So I think what Steve is talking about, whether it's this environmental issue or this other $25 million issue, I think there's still some negotiations that need to take place, because the monies we're concerned about really go through from the maintenance of Caltrain, and we cannot not maintain Caltrain currently. So I think there are some ongoing discussions, I understand, from yesterday, and it is important that we give time, I believe, for the parties to meet and talk about this and also the EIR, because one of the concerns we all have as well is, you know, if we keep putting things in to the MOU or make different changes, it could prolong the EIR process, it could slow things down, and we're already talking 2019 before we even have electrification. So there's still some bumps in the road, but I don't think they're insurmountable. I just think we need the parties to get together and have some pretty decent discussion. So I don't think it's going to be really undoing the MOU in a big way, but there were some sort of understandings as that was put together that there may need to be a few modifications. Nothing significant to change what the intent was.
Thank you. Steve?
Yeah, and look, I'll try not to give you the 20-year answer, because that's how long we've been working on electrification, but I think there is a story here that is worth telling. The reason this project has been so long in the thinking and not the doing is that there is quite commonly a lot of support for the notion, and then when the rubber hits the road, you don't mean using that money, or you don't mean doing the EIR now. And I'll tell you, the irony of the meeting we had yesterday is that on the question that Commissioner Weiner is raising, the concern that Caltrain staff from Samtrans, since they staff the board, the concern they were raising is we don't want to include this stuff about 4th and King in the EIR because it might slow things down. We have a commitment to get this project done by 2019. At the same time, they're making a request here to essentially use some of the funds that were earmarked for electrification for something else. Now, the something else is a very good thing to use the money for, don't get me wrong, but we were quite explicit when we presented the MOU to you that was the trade-off we had to make. If we're really going to get electrification done, and if we're going to take advantage of $600 million of high-speed rail bond money, we had to make some trade-offs. Now, at the time, as Commissioner Tissier said, we said, look, if there's a way to bring some new money, some money we don't know about now in, we can maybe avoid having to use these transit capital dollars. But short of that, we've got to use the money that's in the plan if we want to get it done by 2019. So that's sort of the tension that we have here. It probably is not the end of the world if we use some amount of this $25 million for track work. But that's whatever amount we use is a deficit that we've created in the funding plan for electrification, which if we want to get it done by 2019, we've got to stop blowing holes in the funding program. We've got to reinforce it and spend the money on the project.
Commissioner Cortese, you wanted to follow up on that?
Just my final 2 cents on it is maybe this will sound cosmetic, but I don't think it is. I think if there's a way, if there's going to be anything done in terms of a modification to help with the operating side, well, certainly that should be considered if there's some relief there. But it should be done, if at all possible, without modifying the MOU. There's got to be a way to leave the MOU the way it is and then backfill or talk about backfilling the $25 million or assisting somehow with that, being part of the team that looks at that. It just feels like once you start modifying the MOU, and I'm probably not going to make several people happy that are in the room right now by saying this, but once you start doing that, what comes next? And I what little I know about this is knowledge cobbled together over the years, that's what's really been the cause of the slowdown or the lack of movement forward, is that once somebody starts pulling a piece out, somebody else starts pulling a piece out, and it just gets really difficult to stop that. So,
and as you know, Commissioner, and I think you may have made the motion, this isn't the only piece of the funding plan that potentially is subject to some dispute. We still don't have a firm commitment from San Francisco for its share of the funding here. The two other counties have committed $60 million of sales tax money. San Francisco doesn't have $60 million of sales tax. They have less than that. And so that balance for them is also something that we need to work out. But my point is, we're at the stage now where if we're going to recirculate the EIR and we're really going to build this thing by 2019, we have to start firming up the funding plan, not making it shakier.
Chair Tissey and then Commissioner Wiener.
I don't totally agree with Steve on this one, but I think that's where the discussion needs to continue to happen, because my understanding is there were some commitments made with the understanding that there would be some reimbursement for them so that we could make this plan whole. I think there's a little more discussion that needs to take place here, because I don't know that we would have committed maintenance dollars if there wasn't an issue that we would be reimbursed at a later time. So I don't want to get into this debate here. I think there needs to be more discussion on it. I was not in the room yesterday, unfortunately, but I was involved with some of the earlier discussions on the MOU. So I think we have a difference of opinion as to what was discussed at the time of the MOU. So, again, I don't think this is the stage. I think there's some discussions that need to take place, including the EIR things. And, again, I don't think they're totally insurmountable, but I do think people walked away with different opinions on what was really going to happen in the long run. So,
Commissioner Wiener?
Thanks. And I appreciate, Steve, your comments, and I completely understand that the desire, including by Caltrans, so let's finally move forward and get this done. But my, I think the concern is that if the EIR almost presupposes that 4th and King is going to be electrified, at some point the momentum is there and it becomes harder to pull back. And then all of a sudden we have an electrified 4th and King rail yard, and then we're faced with the choice of either ripping it up and having wasted that money to electrify that rail yard, or foregoing a huge opportunity with all of this very important real estate that's being, I think, improperly used as a, or not as its highest and best used as a rail yard, and losing that opportunity for that housing and also to help fund the downtown extension. So I think it's just a matter of making the choices earlier and not letting the tail wag the dog, which I feel like is what is potentially going to happen.
Yes, Commissioner Bates.
Yeah, Steve, I was wondering if, this is all very interesting and exciting to hear about, but I wonder if it's possible to have a broader overview of this, of the subject, about so we can understand a little more about precisely what's going on, not today, obviously, but to schedule something where we can get all of the, because it seems like this is such a complicated problem that it's not going to go away. It's going to be with us until right up to 2019, probably. And it'd be interesting to see where the funding is, where the vulnerabilities are, where the problems are, just so we have a better grasp of what's happening.
Commissioner, I think I can promise you repeated occurrences of that briefing. we're going to need to work on this all the way through, as you say, and we'll be coming back to you because we need, as Commissioner Tissier said, we need to resolve this question of the $25 million. And the issue on the EIR is going to get resolved one way or the other. We're either going to have an agreement among the three parties to the Joint Powers Board about how to proceed, or what I fear is that one of them is going to be commenting in the EIR process and pursuing its objectives in that fashion. And they're entitled to do so.
Great. Thank you. Colleagues, any other comments? And are we still continuing on the transit capital rehabilitation?
Yes. Thank you. So the next issue concerns Solano County express buses and the urbanized areas in the county. Our recommendation is to reserve half of the FY 2014 FTA Section 5307 funds in the three urbanized areas in the county. That's pending completion of the Solano County short-range transit plan. The SRTP that is currently being developed by STA in collaboration with the transit operators will include a capital funding plan for each of the operators in the county for meeting all of their capital replacement needs, and that includes replacing approximately 31 regional express buses in fiscal 2017. That's a relatively large project for the county, and it may require some of the funds that we are proposing to reserve in FY14 in order to kind of stockpile enough funds to cover that project when it's comes due to be included in the program. It may also require additional regional funds beyond those that are just available within the county. So our recommendation here is that we would staff would review the SRTP and work with the with STA and the operators to verify that the capital plan can cover the cost of those express buses, and then we would come back to you with a recommendation on how to program those funds that we have reserved.
Great, thank you. We can now move on to the
Mr.
transit
Chairman.
Perform. Sorry, Commissioner Sparing.
I'd like to address this either now or at the end.
No,
that's
fine.
Okay. Obviously, this recommendation has caused a lot of concern in Solano County, and the transit operators are energized over this recommendation that we withhold 50% of these funds. I'd like to make a request or a FYI that between now and the full commission that Alex and I meet with the transit operators, that we address the concerns that they're raising. Some of them are legitimate, some of them are rhetoric. They're concerned about their funding cycles, they're concerned about their operations, also the ability for other funding sources. And the intent of what's being proposed, I fully support. I mean, the express bus replacement has to be addressed. You know, there's been millions of dollars invested in the corridor. It's a service that's growing, and the ridership is one that really depends on this service. And so what I would propose is that Alex and I meet with those operators between now and the commission, and we may come back with a slightly modified version of this recommendation, but I just wanted to make that request and so that if there is some slight modification, that the commission is not surprised.
Thank you, Commissioner Sparing. Ms. Bockelman?
I'm definitely agreeable to having that meeting, so we'll make that happen.
So we'll have an opportunity to see that done between now and the time it comes. Great, thank you. And now let's go to the transit performance initiative.
There's one final issue I'd just want to highlight on TCP program. That concerns VTA. VTA requested $31 million from the STP funds that were set aside for Transit Capital Rehabilitation for costs of their bus replacement projects that exceeded their FTA formula funds that were available to them. The programming policy specifies that these STP funds are to be used for high priority, that is the Score 16 projects, that cannot be fully funded with just the FTA funds. The issue here is that VTA in over the last few years has been using the bulk of its FTA funds for low-scoring preventive maintenance. Over the last 2 years, that totaled to about $27 million. Those are funds that could have been set aside to cover the difference on the bus costs that they're currently requesting the STP for. So our recommendation here would be to program $3.3 million of the STP funds, which is basically the difference between the $31 million request and the $27 million that of prior year funds that were used for preventive maintenance. So with that, then I'd like to turn it over to Kenneth to talk about the TPI.
Thanks, Kenneth Wolin with staff. I can quickly go through this. It's $15 million that we have on the table today, and the reason we're bringing it forward to you is it is this move into kind of in incentive-based allocation. So we thought it was worthwhile spending a little time on it. Again, it's the first year of the performance initiative funding. It is based on ridership. The funds were distributed to the agencies based on ridership, with a focus on improving ridership, productivity, and pilot pass programs. And based on the submittals that we've received from the agencies, we are recommending that we program 90% of the funding to 8 projects, and we would hold the remainder in reserve. And to give you a flavor of the projects, these ones listed on the screen right now focus on ridership and productivity. The AC Transit project is a marketing and ridership information effort that would, with the goal of increasing ridership. The ACE is moving towards electronic fare equipment, and it's got a condition that's listed up there related to Clipper and regional coordination policy. The BART projects, the first one, the train car accident repair, this would bring 2 cars back into service, and that could certainly help with capacity during the peak periods and allowing them to have longer trains. The second BART project is also something that can help with operational improvements. It's software and train control upgrades at 24th Street Station. Currently, they only turn around, I think, 2 trains a day there, but this would give them flexibility to turn around multiple trains per hour at that station, and that certainly helps the BART Metro concept and the ability to move people faster through the city on BART. Finally, in San Francisco, again, this light rail vehicle rehab, it's going to provide funding to get approximately 14 vehicles, some component rehab, and this would allow them to improve their service life for 10 years or more. The next 3 projects are youth and low-income pass programs. You've had discussions here at the committee about these over the last couple months, and we're recommending funding all 3 of them. In San Francisco, for the free Muni pass that for youth, and that would start, I believe, on March 1st is the projected start date for that, provided that we get this approval today. In Marin, it's a continuation of a program that is in existence for youth passes. In VTA, it is a brand new pilot that's going to be a 2-year pilot, and that one is not just focused on youth, but for a deeply discounted monthly pass for a low-income population. So the next steps with the program after the consideration today is that in February or March we would approve a formula for distributing the incentive program funds in future years, and we're working with the operators on that now. The second thing is that we would do a progress report on the investment projects that were approved in May as part of the sustainability project. And then finally, we have future rounds of programming coming up in spring and summer. And just to refresh your memory, the all in on the performance initiative for transit, there's $142 million between the investment incentive program. So it's a big effort that you've committed these funds, and we want to keep you abreast of the situation. So with that, we are recommending this whole package's revisions to the following resolutions, 4035, 4072, and 4084, to refer those to the commission for approval.
Great. Thank you very much. There was a lot of information, a lot of substance in item 4A, so we want to thank staff for their great work. Before we move with any action, Commissioner Wiener.
Thank you. This is really exciting, and particularly the $5.1 million allocation for MTA to rebuild the 14 LRVs. I think we've seen LRV breakdowns are just a huge, dramatic problem for Muni, and it's to the point where Muni actually does not have any spare LRVs, so that if one breaks down and goes out of service, it's just gone. So this is terrific. I wish we were using our entire allotment to rebuild the LRV fleet, but that is a battle that I fought and lost. So I accept that, and I will be supporting the resolution today.
Thank you, Commissioner Wiener. Commissioner Bates.
Yes. Thank you very much. I was wondering about the youth and the low-income passes. Obviously, AC Transit is not on that list. And can you? I know there was an opportunity in Measure B that didn't pass for some support for that program. I'm wondering what the situation is and what sort of equity can we look forward to seeing that be covered in the future.
Ms. Bachelman?
Alex Bachelman, Director of Program and Allocations. Commissioner Bates, this funding, we really gave the transit operators the opportunity to identify projects. So what we have before you today is really their recommendations for how they would like to spend the money to address productivity and ridership increases. And AC Transit did come forward with a project, but it wasn't related to a pass program. So I know that there'll still be discussions in the county, with respect to going out again with the sales tax, and that may lead to, a future program. Well, but in terms of AC Transit requesting this money to support that, they did not.
So will there be additional funds available for that purpose, do you feel like, in under this another allocation for them? In other words, if they were to go out to the voters, it wouldn't be to 2014, and that's as soon as possible, and there's no guarantees, obviously.
So this incentive program is annual, so this is just the FY13 year. So AC Transit will have funding. You have established funding in 14, 15, and 16.
Okay.
The amounts will vary depending on the formula that is developed and that you approve in the next few months.
So it's
but
really,
they would have more money if they want to consider it in the future.
So it's really up to them. If they feel like in the next cycle they want to do this, they need to come forward with the program.
Yes.
I just want to mention, side note, I know it's not covered here, but on Monday morning I took the Capitol Corridor from Sacramento to hopefully to Richmond, and the train actually died. I've never seen this happen. A train, just the motor, stopped between Sassoon and Martinez. And I'm wondering about their maintenance. And that's a BART-operated program, is that correct, with Caltrains?
Commissioner Bates, you're speaking about Capitol Corridor. BART manages it. I think it's operated by under contract with Amtrak, but BART provides some of the oversight and management.
Yeah, but they may need some maintenance dollars too. I've never heard of a train dying. The motor just literally died doing it.
I know that we may lose a quorum pretty soon. So, colleagues, on this item, can we have a motion to move this item forward? Motion by Commissioner Wiener, seconded by Commissioner Cortese. If we can take that without objection. Oh, actually, I didn't see a request. Oh, okay. Jerry Grace, before we actually finalize the action.
I throw that up there quick because I try to raise my hands quick and let quick guys about. But I thought two things I'm going to point out. Number one, Next time, back sometime end of the month in January, we need to write out the you have it in front of you, the paper you have, and I think if people would look at it and follow you, what you read to us about what you're talking about. Yes, right now we don't know what you're talking about and all that stuff. We didn't have the paper in front of us. That is number one. And number two, that is, you're right. I agree with you. That is a lot of good information. And I can't say at this point right now, but I think in later end of the month, I look at more about it and look at it over and all that stuff. But one thing I'm going to bring up to Tom. Tom, I'm going to let you know, yesterday, AC Transit, ADA, have a meeting. And they are not ready yet, but they are bringing from now to, I think they say April, they're talking about BART, buses. And they don't have the money right now. They are talking about it, not about the bus one. And they're going to, they say we look like a train, and then I just found out Berkeley do not want it to their town. They call it BRT. I think you heard it before. The BRT.
Jerry, why don't we talk about this after the meeting? We can talk
about it. Well, okay. I bring it up because they are trying to talk more about it. That's
Thank
why
you.
They're not discussed it. That's why they're not up there right now. They're still working on it to have their meeting. Thank you very much.
Seeing no more public comment. Public comment is closed. We have a motion by Commissioner Weiner, seconded by Commissioner Cortese. Without objection, item passes. Thank you. And next item 5, which is an informational item. If we can make it quick, Ms. Bachman, thank you again. California Transportation Commission update.
Yes, the CTC met yesterday in Sacramento. I just have one or two notes from the meeting. One is that they did elect a new chair and vice chair. I think this might be the first time that they're both from the Bay Area. So the new chair is Jim Gilmetti, and the new vice chair is Carl Gardino. So maybe that gives us a lot of leverage on the CTC. They did start talking about the 2014 STIP development process, which will basically happen over the next year. They also talked about the 10-year shop needs, and they actually asked for a presentation on the transit sustainability project, which I gave because they think it could have statewide implications. So that's it. It was pretty uneventful in terms of funding allocations. So that concludes my report.
Are we going to host a reception for Mr. Gilmetti, Steve?
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman.
That's a great idea. Any other comments or questions? I don't see any public comment requests. Now, item 6, public comment information. I don't see any requests from the public. So that concludes the business of the committee. The next meeting of the Program and Allocations Committee will be February 13, 2013 at 10 a.m. Meeting adjourned.